What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula. Houston Sports Leader.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
Sports Radio 610.
Let's go around the NFL in loop. Sports Radio 610. I was about to go to... Oh, that's right. We'll get into that, but I did want to shout out, as we were talking about, some of the things of your youth.
Haunting.
That still haunt you. I can't forget this, or I didn't want to forget this one. Somebody texted in and said, shout out to Reggie. I dropped the baton on a 4x1 turn in the district meet.
Oh,
so not just any old meet, the district meet, the one where you really need to show up.
Man,
I'm assuming they had a chance to win, and it wasn't like they were in ninth place or something.
I feel like either way, you still feel bad. Yes. Somebody in there feels like they can make up.
Could have turned it on,
right? Somebody's like, nah, I'd have walked him down.
Yeah, that's right.
A man who did not walk down the person ahead of him, Jarrett Stidham, a quarterback. For the Broncos, was very disappointed that he is not the starting quarterback for the Broncos. He said, I know I'm a starting quarterback in this league. I have no doubts about that. I'll be ready to go if I need to be, but I have no doubts that I'm a starting caliber quarterback. Close quote. You buying?
I do.
You buying?
I have doubts. I mean, when has he been a starting quarterback?
I mean, in the case of injury or a lack of a better option, like, yeah, I find it interesting, like, the psyche that you have to be a professional athlete, because this is necessary. You got to believe that.
No,
right?
I love the confidence, but I mean, you know, you've been in the league for, this is going to be your fifth year. You've started exactly 4 games.
Yeah. And he didn't come in the league like a first round draft pick.
No, he didn't
like that. So
yeah,
I don't get that.
I mean, I admire the confidence, and I'm glad that he feels like he should be. But have I mentioned he's going into his fifth season?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he knows.
Could
he
this
knows.
Be a little more disrespectful towards Bo Nix?
And like, it might be.
I'm a starting quarterback over this dude.
Yeah.
Y'all
that's probably what
me
it
over
is.
Him.
Because, I mean, you looked at that quarterback room, and it was not a super strong one.
Yeah.
When you talk about Zach Wilson. And then you had Jarrett Stidham, and Bo Nix came in, and you were like, we'll see what that is.
You know what? I think that is what it is.
I think that's what he looks around.
I think
he
nailed it.
None of these dudes are better than me.
He's like, yeah, I know I wasn't a starter, you know, in New England, you know, or wherever, but I should be a starter here. And yeah. I think you're onto something there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck to him in that regard and trying to make something happen there. Elsewhere around the NFL, this has been a summer of wide receiver holdouts or hold-ins, right? Folks trying to get their money. CeeDee Lamb notably not getting his done yet with the Cowboys. Ja'Marr Chase also not getting his deal done yet with the Bengals. I know that all those teams are looking at the Justin Jefferson deal that got done in Minnesota as a benchmark on what the elite wide receivers will get. And it seems like there's really still isn't any movement on Ja'Marr Chase, but the interesting part about that, while CeeDee Lamb has not practiced with the team at all, Ja'Marr Chase has been holding in, so he's done maybe some like very light practice. This weekend, yesterday, in fact, he practiced with the Bengals like full practice, which I'm interested. Do you think that means he's just going to forego the idea of a contract extension getting done?
No, I don't. And I'm always somewhat amused. This is pretty much a new phenomenon. It's kind of ever since Deshaun Watson played safety for the Texans in practice. You know, that this has been a thing in the NFL. Yeah, I'll show up, but I ain't going to give you everything. A lot of people are kind of critical of this, and I heard John McClain with Texans Radio earlier saying it never works, you know, he's going to play, which is all accurate, but I think the message gets delivered pretty soundly. Like, I think they will have a deal with him. I mean, everybody knows he's there. Everybody knows he's going to play or else he loses big checks, you know. But I think, and maybe I'm just dead wrong on this, I think when you do this, the message is clear publicly, it's clear privately, and I think it does work, ultimately. Yeah, I really do.
I think the key is, I think it make it uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like, you don't want an uncomfortable camp. So, you don't want the mm-hmm. team all over ESPN
yes.
talking about this mess, man. You want to kind of focus. You don't want a circus mm-hmm. out there with the media.
Don't you think it ultimately works? I mean, I can't think of specific examples of, like, hold-ins. But I think most of the hold-ins ultimately end with that dude getting a contract.
Yeah, I mean, it really just depends on the ownership and their mm-hmm. their stomach for that discomfort, as you talk about, yeah. Fig. And depending on what your aspirations are as a team mm-hmm. for that season, you might need to get that guy in earlier. But I think also with the way that preseason and training camp are going,
yeah.
you're seeing that some of these players, I guess, in theory, need that camp less and less. So I think teams are also willing to go.
Yeah.
If you're willing to miss checks, though, it does make this a lot stronger, right? Like, if you're willing to miss the first week, then you put a lot of pressure on right. the team to get the
thing
done.
It's more awkward.
Really awkward.
Yeah.
Very awkward very quickly. So it'll be interesting to see, like, mm-hmm. that we have this many wide receivers out there. Like, how many of them are going to actually wrap this up, or how many of them are just going to take this to negotiating next season, mm-hmm. ultimately. Some of the preseason games that happened over this weekend, one of them is a division rival. When we talk about the Titans, rather, they mm-hmm. faced off against the Saints. Interesting quarterback situation happening here. Spencer Rattler looked pretty good, and it seems yeah. like he might have wrapped up the idea of QB2 for the Saints with a 7-13, 105 yards, and one touchdown outing. Across from him, though, Will Levis, mm-hmm. 7-8, 118. Which is good for, what, 14, damn near 15 yards an attempt?
Yeah.
No touchdowns, no interceptions, but apparently looked pretty good, and that's the guy that they're looking to start with. Like, how are you concerned at all, like, when it comes to, for the Texans' perspective, mm-hmm. about Will Levis being the starter out there,
man,
in Tennessee?
I still don't quite believe, well, I don't believe in Will Levis until we start seeing some of this in the regular season. But I've said this on the air. I've told you guys this. Like, Brian Callahan does scare me a little bit. I think he's a true great offensive mind. Now, I don't know if it's going to translate as a head coach, but he found a way to get. I mean, these, like, Calvin Ridley on one of them was just wide open. Like, he finds ways to get his offense humming a little bit. So I don't know if Will Levis is the real deal, but I think he's going to be better.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, this team seems like this Titans team feels like a potential stumbling block,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's evidence by what you're talking about. When a good coach that can kind of help bring that offense together, yeah. you give them, they have more talent when it comes to the wide receiving mm-hmm. core. Levis seems to at least have built a relationship with Ridley and have a decent amount of capability within that context.
They also got a lot of players, man. They spent a lot of money. So I didn't think they was gonna go in like that. So.
Yeah,
they're a little scary to me.
I don't know if I want to say scary yet, but they're definitely of note.
I think they're a scary seven-win team.
That feels about right, 6-7 in there.
Because they're going to be in the way. If they could get up to 7, that's a team that's in the way.
In the way.
They're just kind of sticky. Like they're just kind of a problem. You know, I don't know if they're a threat, but they're a problem.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some other things happening around the NFL. The Cleveland Browns have made it known that Nick Chubb will start the season on the physically unable to perform list. And so that dude is a large part of talking about an offense. Like, he's a large part of what they do. And it's kind of incredible. Running back lifespans aren't super long, but it feels like he's been there for a minute, toting that rock and doing it incredibly well for the Browns.
Yeah, and at the same time, make of it what you will, but Deshaun Watson had a tired arm going into the final preseason game. Now, maybe they're just resting him and it's much ado about nothing. But the Browns, man, the Browns are going to be... they're going to be something to watch this year. They're always going to be a story, whether it's Deshaun Watson and is he any good, or Nick Chubb. You know, now it's going to be at least, what, four games that he's going to have to miss. The Browns are going to be one of those stories that you just have to watch.
And it is worth noting, D'Amico Ryans is talking to media right now. We'll try and get you either all of or some of the things that he talked about soon here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. One of the things that we have seen, though, Aaron Wilson reporting that the Texans have released offensive lineman Dieter Esslin.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that anybody was anticipating him making the 53, but at least now we see
it's
cuts
happening.
Are beginning to happen.
Yeah,
so
happening.
I imagine during the course of today, all the way into tomorrow, we'll be getting more news and getting a better idea of what the 53-man roster looks like. So keep it locked here, Sports Radio 610, your home of the Texans. Next in around the NFL, I did find this to be interesting because apparently the Las Vegas Police Union, they're saying that they are going to disregard the NFL's new access policy. Now, you guys have absolutely already gotten to feel a little bit of the new access policy.
Yeah.
The NFL is trying to up security, and they're using kind of more information. They're using facial recognition scans, things of that nature, to try and make sure that anybody with real access into the building, media, people working this, and team security as well, are going to go through this. But it seems like the Las Vegas police were like, no, we don't want to have to give up that level of access to information when it comes to getting into these games and working.
What are we doing here?
So do they not want to give up? Like,
they're not doing the facial recognition, which I think is kind of cool. The couple of times I've done it, you just kind of look into the screen and then it shows your own picture and gives you the green light. I'm like, that's kind of cool, you know.
Yeah. But no, I almost walked past it one time. They're like, hey,
oh, hey,
no,
hey,
you can't do that.
Hey, now I'm sure they've had their reasons. I think one of the ones, they don't want their information out there. Accessed by whomever.
Right.
I get it, but
I mean,
they all have phones, right?
I don't want my information out there, too.
Too
but
bad.
I got to do my job.
Yeah, well,
I don't think nobody wants
too
their
bad.
Information
Your
out
information
there.
Is out there. Have you ever walked by a Costco and get Costco ads on your phone?
Yeah, we definitely exist in a like surveillance state type.
Yes.
Like, we got cameras everywhere. I did find this interesting, though, because like, It does feel kind of wild that they are the ones that are standing and being like, no, we're not going to do that. We'll give you wristbands. We'll go through like kind of more traditional
Brother.
Security type things. But no, we're not doing that. Although I will say, like, I kind of hear them on some regards of like, you're giving up a lot of information when we talk about these facial scans, when we talk about like potentially, access to personal information things. And it feels like the only entities that would be able to fight the NFL on this would be like a police union, where they already have that kind of unified power to be able to be like, no, we're not doing this. And you kind of need us to be able to make this go for you.
I get it, but it's inconsequential. I mean, it is.
So like, you think they ultimately lose out on this in the NFL's?
Dude, no. I think they're probably going to win. They're going to get their wristbands, and the NFL really can't do anything, I guess, legally or whatever. And they are police officers, so they should have access with those wristbands. If something happens in one of those restricted areas, they're going to go in. All I'm saying is it's just silly. It's just
that they're fighting it?
It's just silly. Like,
you think they're trying to hide something?
Figgy, do you think there's anything that anybody, if they really want to, doesn't know about you?
Yeah.
Nothing.
No, all of our information gone.
Nothing.
Unless you're using a landline or something. And no cell phone.
I mean, it's like, it's just silly to me. I get it. More power to them. But I mean, come on, this is just nonsense.
Some other things, and look, this was kind of nonsense. A lot of people called it nonsense when it first went up. The Washington Commanders announced that they will replace the insulation that they had in honor of Sean Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to do a more traditional statue. Do you recall what it looked like, the insulation that they did, where it was basically
we had some fun with it.
The jersey, the pants, the cleats, the gloves, the helmet just kind of floating in a glass case.
Yeah.
Obviously it had Sean Taylor's number on it, but you know, it was a different way of trying to honor him, and I appreciated the effort, but it just didn't
It
didn't look nice, man.
That's exactly where I was. Like, I could see them trying to get creative, but it just didn't hit. You know, it just didn't hit. So do it the right way.
Yeah, and so they're going to go back to the drawing board, and they're going to get some family involved to try and make sure they're actually going to get Sean Taylor's daughter, Jackie, involved with input in the design process for the statue. So they're going to go the tried and true route of making a statue.
Sure, why not?
And I can't wait until they unveil that statue and we get to laugh at the Commander.
It better be good.
Because, again, when was the last time you saw a statue where it really, really looks like the person it was supposed to look like?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a real good point.
Yeah.
Michael?
That one looked a little...
But at least
The one in front of United.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that one will. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. No, that I have a feeling that they're going to find a way to make this look funny again.
I know we will.
And we're
going
to laugh at them.
We will too.
To be fair, we're going to laugh at them because they're the Commanders, not because this. Because again, statues are hard to get right. Mm-hmm. Right? They don't often end up looking exactly like the person that they're supposed to. We're not going to give them any grace, are we?
No, none.
Okay, there you go.
None at all.
Shout out to the Commanders there.
Yeah.
There you go. Around the NFL here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Always get involved with the program by texting in 713-572-4610. Coming up next. We definitely want you to get involved. Let's talk about this preseason game one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's break it down, because obviously we could talk about the implications and we'll get into that. But let's appreciate who played well in this game with a little segment I like to call Who Hooped? Let us know who you think hooped, who definitely didn't hoop. Again, 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Who hooped in the Texans preseason finale win against the Los Angeles Rams 17-15? You're listening to In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula. Get involved, 713-572-4610. I know that some people will be like, well, we're talking about football, which means who hooped. And I think it's become, or at least in
it
my
translates.
Circles, it's become just a generic term. Mm-hmm. Sports neutral. The idea of hooping. You can hoop in baseball.
We hooping. I love that term.
And I think the Texans, there were some people that definitely hooped in this game that deserve some credit. And of course, I feel like we should start with the man who, I mean, look, he hit us with the pirouettes. Had some cutbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Akers in this game hooped, John.
Big time.
I thought obviously he showed, again, what he's been showing, which is a level of vision when he runs the football, which is necessary in this this zone blocking scheme when you're talking about running.
Yeah.
It's not a given what gap you're hitting. So you have to watch it and read and watch it like develop. Then you find the hole, you hit the hole.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I've continued to like be a little bit interested in when it comes to Cam Akers, when you're talking about Achilles, like, do they rob you of your explosion?
Yeah.
And when he has cut, I don't know that he's necessarily like had incredible explosion, but it's been sufficient. Now, people will know he's running against seconds and thirds stringers, and I don't know what I can do about that because D'Amico Ryans and
on the field.
They've not put him in that position to run against ones, but at the very least, with what he has been given, he's made the most of them.
Look, I'm glad you brought this up because there were two plays that Cam Akers made that really were the two biggest highlights of the game. The first one, I believe, was a 23-yard run, thereabouts.
He trucked a defender in there.
He was right on the sideline. It was a friend of his, an old teammate. They were laughing about it later, but he trucked that dude. That was one of the highlights. But that's not the reason I feel, just to kind of add to what we're talking about at the top of the show, that's not the reason I feel that Cam Akers told me he's the dude. He should be the second team running back behind Joe Mixon. The other one was the old, what was the video game? X down, where you do the little spin move. He did three of those. You know, spin.
He sure
spin.
Did. He was spamming that B button.
And that made the highlight reel.
Or circle if you play
Is that what it was? I don't remember what it was. Anyway, circle down, whatever it was. That one wasn't the one that made me realize that's the dude. There was a 10-yard run in the first quarter. It was like It was like a prototype. It was like a lesson, you know, of how to run the outside zone read, running block. Everybody's going to the right. All the linemen take that big right step, as we've seen.
Yeah.
Try to create a lane. The whole defense goes to its left, and he's going to the right, and then boom, stops and cuts back behind the line, and I believe it was a 10-yard run. That's the one where I went, this dude needs to be the running back behind behind Joe Mixon. And he absolutely hooped.
Yeah, that's. I mean, look, that was the exact play that I also took a note of, it, and I'll read it verbatim. Woo boy, that Akers cutback, Mike could solidify this man's spot.
That was it.
Right? Because, look, again, it's the capability that he has, and it shows and it demonstrates, again, the vision that he has and his ability to then execute on that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was later in the game, and he was in that game long, right? He was in that game all the way through, which, again, we have questions about why these guys are playing certain ways. But that's, look, it's their prerogative. It's D'Amico Ryans' prerogative on how he decides to play these guys to figure out what he needs to figure out, get this team ready to go. But he did the running between the tackles as well, right? It's not just it's not just a, I don't know, one-trick pony or a limited sample of things that he can do. He does everything to some extent, which I think is something that's good to have in one of your backup running backs, is a guy that you feel comfortable throwing out there in most any situation and being able to do that. Because one of the things that can happen, even though we're not talking about a lot of plays that a backup running back, or RB2 or 3, will end up playing in any given game, you still want to have, in the NFL, you still want to have it to where the defense is on their toes. You want to keep them guessing, because anything that you give a defense where they can now key in on what's going to happen makes it that much easier to try and shut down what's happening. You put Cam Akers in, and I don't think you know for certain what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Dameon Pierce, I think we're a little bit closer to the idea of at least a defense can look at it and go, if he's out there, we know that he's not going to kill us.
Not to kill Dameon Pierce, but there is no scenario in which I could have seen him make that cut. He would have just barreled into the line and got whatever he could. Just his running style, not ripping him. I'm just saying that play for me separated Cam Akers and Dameon Pierce. Who else hooped? You mentioned this one, and it kind of like Cam Akers played a lot, made a bunch of plays, played in every game. But
are we talking about on the defensive side?
No, offensive side.
Okay, offensive side?
Offensive side. That would be John Metchie.
Mm.
Yeah, John Metchie to me. I still don't know quite what to make of it. We're going to hear from D'Amico Ryans talking about this very thing shortly. But, he hooped for sure. Just not sure what it's going to mean.
Yeah, I mean, preseason was stat games, stat good performances, because we had not seen enough of those.
Yeah.
And he's done that. He's answered that call, including a nice catch on the outside on what was, I believe, a comeback.
Yeah.
And then he turns to the outside. He gives a little shimmy inside.
Mm-hmm.
Defender plays him inside, turns to the outside towards the sideline, and then is able to get upfield.
Yeah.
It wasn't the quickest turn, but it did the job. And it shows again, stacking positive plays, showing the capabilities, because it feels like for him, proof of concept of what can further develop was the name of the game. And so, and we already have reporting from Jordan Schultz that, you know, teams are reaching out. So it seems like other teams have looked at his preseason and liked it. Obviously, I feel like we could say that the Texans also liked it to a certain degree. So it'll be interesting to see what he looks like. And D'Amico Ryans, as you said, we'll hear from him. He also has positive things to say about Metchie in this one. How about this? I want to go to defense, and if you could hit me with this cut. This man was hooping in this game on Saturday.
Here's Dresser winning the gun on third down and two from the Rams 15. One back, Boston Scott. Two receivers, wide side left, stacked. Just inside the numbers. His motion. Here's a handoff to Scott starting right, and he's going to be brought down short of where he needed to go by Neville Hewitt. That's a lock.
Guess who, Figgy?
Bubble wrap him. He's going to make it, as Hewitt can play linebacker. And he's a special team superhero.
A linebacker from the Jets, who's a tackling machine.
Hooping.
He just does.
I mean, look. You heard in that call, right? The idea of guess who? Because his name kept popping up.
Yep.
And for good reason, man. He was making really good plays. And this is a position that we talked about all preseason long. The idea of you need to feel that depth when it comes to linebacker, because you know that you have Aziz, you know that you have Christian Harris. Those feel like you have those set. toe-to-toe. I think that you have a little bit of maybe some questions about, but you largely, especially the way that he's played thus far, feel comfortable. But beyond that, you wanted to have some idea that you feel comfortable with some of these linebackers. Neville Hewitt was making a lot of plays
in this game. He just consistently cannot be, you know, pushed out. He hadn't started in the NFL in 5 years.
Do you think it's a possibility he could get on the field more?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say
that. Like, not special teams, but actually get on the field more.
Because there is opportunity. Like, you know, there's going to be opportunity. You know Christian Harris. We'll see on him. We'll hear from D'Amico. Al-Shaair. Who knows on toe-to-toe. But Neville Hewitt, this dude has just carved out a nice little tidy 10-year NFL career. You know, or nine, or whatever it is. This is going to be his 10th season. And just, you keep waiting for someone to replace him, and nobody does.
Yeah, and dudes that carve out that type of career, it's because they do the things that they have within their control well.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like this game was, right?
Yeah.
Filling the run in the ways that you're supposed to, reading and reacting. Like, he may not make a ton of explosive plays. That was probably one of the better ones, him getting into the backfield, really on, like, kind of a stretch play.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, kind of horse-collaring Boston Scott. But ultimately, just getting to the place that he needed to be to make a play. That's what you kind of need from a depth player, right? And he got to the place. He made the play. Shout out to Neville Hewitt for doing what he needed to do there.
Yeah, yeah. And the other one that we have on here as Who Hooped, I don't quite know what to make of this either. He's going to play somewhere in the NFL. He's going to be on some practice squad or some roster, and that's Cephas. Quintez Cephas. We've talked about him. I don't feel like he's going to be on this squad, but he's done enough. He's done enough to show that he deserves to be on a roster somewhere.
Yeah, I thought in this game he and him, I think Johnny Johnson as well. Like some of the depth wide receivers.
Yeah.
Again, pointing to the idea that you've got a really fun wide receiver room. Some of these guys just made solid catches. Right.
Yeah.
Just. Word where they needed to be. Cephas used his body pretty well to shield the football, although there was a couple of times where the defensive back might have kind of gotten through him, knocked the ball down, but like shielded the ball pretty well, went up, made a catch. I think there was one point where he used his verticality to go make a catch, and it feels like, yeah, you're right. He'll be somewhere in this league getting a check, whether it's like, hey, the Texans try and slide him onto the practice squad, or if someone looks around, I think he can be useful to a team, and he has been useful to teams in his past. I think that continued through.
Who didn't hoop?
Was there? Oh, well, I mean, for one, can you give me a highlight number one on the sheet? Because it happened very early on,
and
my reaction was, what are we doing right now?
Ethan Evans, the punter, unloads. Dez King back deep for the Houston Texans and drops the ball. It's loose. The Rams fall on it. They've got it inside the 15-yard line. No sunshine to blame that on. And the Rams have the ball in the red zone.
He was just running before he fielded the ball, and it's going to be a big turnover. Pretty much, if the Rams hold on to it, it'll lead to points, at least three.
And the he that's talking about there, Desmond King. Desmond King played some cornerbacks, some, I guess, that nickelback or whatever, in the slot during the course of this game. And that defense was there, but I don't know what to do with Desmond King. And this game was not necessarily like a glowing review of Desmond King's talents.
No, I'm not feeling Desmond King. And we've both been fans of his, Figgy. Yeah. I just am not feeling it.
They actually brought him back last season.
They brought him back
last year.
Because
they cut him. I didn't understand why they cut him.
Yeah.
And they eventually brought him back.
Isn't this also kind of rich people's problem kind of thing? Like on a team going in like last year or the year before, Des King could be integral. But on a squad like this, he could fall by the wayside.
Sure. Although, I still think with cornerback, I've got questions beyond your starters. Like, I do wonder how solid you feel about some of these other guys stepping in. But, yeah, I mean, if you feel like last year you would have had to start Desmond King, so that's definitely different. But, I don't know that he's been inherently bad. I personally can't recall.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that I've seen, like, the great flashes in this game.
Exactly.
I don't think that there were great flashes either. I know at one point he had to play a little safety because you had a couple of guys go down with injury. I know Hill left with injury, amongst others. But, he was there. He did basically what was required of him. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see anything particularly great. And this feels like one of those games where you want to do some pretty good things.
You got one more that didn't hoop?
I think so. Harrison, fullback.
Troy Harrison,
especially because of this, in this context. It's clear that the Texans are searching for something to fill the gap in fullback. I don't know if that is to the fullest extent of hey, we want to replace the fullback. Do we have any takers to replace Beck entirely? Or is it just we know Beck is going to start on the injured reserve or the physically unable to perform list, and so for the time that he is not there, we need to have a solution.
Yeah.
But for a guy who, as his trade, is fullback, I thought Hairston was not incredible. Like, I think,
no, I agree.
Like, there was a one point, I think it was the Cam Akers cutback that was happening. Mm-hmm. You had the tight end that had a block up on the right side towards where the direction was happening. Hairston goes and tags that guy, and I'm like, there's people up ahead. That guy's blocked up. Now, if you want to go up to the next level, pick up a linebacker, right? Yeah. If you can get up to a safety, right? And now you can create even more space and make that play bigger, in theory, just when you're blocking. And that's the type of thing that maybe I would expect to see from British Brooks or Kate Stover, that's, you know, kind of just existing in the fullback role, but not a fullback. You as a fullback, I anticipated a little bit more vision and understanding.
It's
of
your job
happening.
Description.
And it felt like, I feel like I have not seen anything so special in this game as well. Did not see anything particularly special from Hairston. I think he also dropped a pass out of the backfield, but hey, it happens like that when you're thrown to a fullback. But I was hoping to see more from him, especially with the opening and the opportunity when it comes to fullback with this team.
It's going
to
be one of the more fascinating things that we're going to tell you about as we get the information today and tomorrow, because I also don't know what exactly they have planned at fullback. I fully expect no fullbacks other than guys who can play that position like Cade Stover or Brevin Jordan or something until they make a decision on Andrew Beck. So I'm with you. I don't think Troy Hairston is going to be around.
Was there anything else notable when it came to this game that you were like, hey, someone else I needed to salute? I don't know if I fully wanted to go like just didn't hoop, but Case Keenum, he had Mechie running free on one of these early plays, and he just threw it right to the linebacker. Thankfully, it was not caught.
Yeah.
But when it comes to that third quarterback, who I think they carry two anyways.
Yeah.
It'll probably still be Case Keenum just because he knows the system, but I don't know that I love the idea that if you had to go and get Case Keenum in the game.
No, I think we can lay to rest. Who are they going to go with if they need to start a backup? I think it's going to be Davis Mills. Case Keenum, I mean, let's just be honest.
I think he's a good QB on the sideline.
He didn't look
and stuff
good.
Like that.
He didn't play well.
Yeah, and he left a little early because a little sore, I guess.
Yeah, so yeah, I think he's going to be the third quarterback or the third quarterback on the practice squad. You know, somebody that you can call up, and there's no shame in that, man. I mean, that's where he is right now.
Yeah. Look, physically, I've been wondering, like, is the arm still in the place that it needs to be? Like, are we seeing the twilights of that career to where maybe he turns this into a coaching career and he takes the next step in whatever football means to him, or, you know, life in general means to him? But there you go. Some of the folks who hooped, and maybe some of the folks who didn't hoop. And what was the final preseason game for your Texans? 17-15 was the victory over the Rams, but more importantly, it sets the stage for what is to come tomorrow. The cut down to 53-man roster. We're already getting some cuts. Mm-hmm. Did I mention McTelvin Ugim?
Mm-hmm.
He was cut as well. So now we have at least two cuts that have happened when it comes to these Texans. Again, not any of the guys on none of the guys on the fringes just yet. But we're working our way. We have two cuts down, and so
we said goodbye to McTelvin again today.
Yeah.
Who?
Anyways.
McTelvin.
All due respect to that man. There you go. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including Anthony Edwards talking spicy to a great. We'll do that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Datatula. We just saw something come across the wire that is really popping. It's going to be important. In fact, it pertains to what we were just talking about before we went to break. We were talking a little bit about, you know, Case Keenum and Tim Boyle. They were the two quarterbacks that got all of the playing time for your Texans in the preseason finale. We're talking about, one of those guys, you decide which one, and I think we both lean towards Case Keenum.
Yeah.
You stash him, and you have him call up. Well, what we have learned as of, 30 minutes ago, if not less or more recent, rather, that per Tom Pelissero, NFL teams were informed that the NFLPA vetoed the revised emergency third quarterback rule that would have allowed teams to elevate bona fide quarterbacks from the practice squad an unlimited amount of time. So the rule now reverts to the 2023 version, which says that an emergency third quarterback has to be on the 53-man roster, not an elevation. So they might not be active on game day, but they have to be on the 53-man roster. And now that changes some things for the Texans, I imagine, and a lot of teams, obviously. But
Texans in particular, it seems like, is going to be a big effect, right?
Sure. Do you feel like then, what do you think is more likely in the situation for the Texans? That they then carry that third quarterback, or that they simply go, we're good with the two that we've got, we don't need the emergency third?
I can't see them carrying three with the decisions they have to make. So what does that do with Case Keenum? Because it seems like that's, or, well, for that matter, you know, all the quarterbacks here, but we think Davis Mills is the second. That's interesting, because basically, and you use the word stash, and that's exactly what it would have been.
Yeah, the
like
PA.
You could stash Case Keenum away from the practice squad. I mean, on the practice squad, and then call him up when you need him. Well, now you can't.
Yep.
You know, now you can't. Now he's got to be on the 53. Can't have three quarterbacks on this roster.
I don't think so.
Can't
especially when you have, and this is probably going to be a testament to Davis Mills, when you have a quarterback that has been as good as Davis Mills has, the idea being, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you keep a third quarterback on the practice squad, and if you end up in an instance where there's an injury, that third quarterback then gets elevated to your 53-man, and you'll figure out the roster moves to deal with it at that point.
Yeah.
But I think that you're probably good enough with CJ Stroud, Davis Mills, as the two that you have on the roster and the two that are active on game day.
Yeah, no, I think this is big news and not the best of news for the Texans in terms of wanting to keep Case Keenum, you know, ready in case you needed
to. And I guess the problem with that, the situation I lined up, is emergencies can happen. We've seen games where two quarterbacks go down, and then you'd be in a really bad way if you don't have somebody on the 53-man roster. So that's another wrinkle that gets added to the 53-man cutdown that will be fully existing tomorrow. We'll see that deadline hit tomorrow, so we'll know what the 53-man roster looks like for these Texans and for the rest of the league Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Another note that very recently happened, and this is per Aaron Wilson of KPRC2, Texas Pro Bowl alternate corner Derek Stingley Jr. is now represented by a familiar name from Athletes First, David Mulgett.
Uh-oh.
So thanks for Aaron Wilson for also reminding us that
Stingley got the ski mask.
Stingley is eligible for a contract extension after
Stingley's
this season
got,
as well.
The got the ski mask.
He said, y'all ain't about to play with me.
He went and loaded up, got ready for what will be a negotiation. Yeah, David Mulgett, if you're not familiar, represents a lot of different clients, including Deshaun Watson.
CJ Stroud,
Jalen Ramsey, who I know had some maybe strong arm situations where they've had to get the ski mask out to go make some things happen. He gets his people paid. That is something that he is known for, and that's something that the Texans are going to have to do with.
Stingley will be the highest paid.
Oh, corner. For sure. We knew it was up there. I mean, we knew it was in the mix. Now it's.
I was kind of hoping he had like a little. I don't want to call him a sorry agent, but some type of some guy that just kind of settled. But nah, he got the ski mask.
Yeah,
now.
He does. Yeah, he does.
Do we have this audio when it comes to Magic Johnson? Because Anthony Edwards might have been wilding a little bit,
dude. A little bit.
Yeah. So Anthony Edwards previously, he was talking about you know, the old days, and when you get to young folks, sometimes we can soar with our ignorance and our youthful naivete. And it felt like that might have been where Anthony Edwards was, because he said, man, the only skilled player back in the day was MJ. This was Magic Johnson being asked by Stephen A. Smith about those comments, and he had a point of response.
You know, I don't never respond to a guy that's never won a championship. There's not nothing to really say. He didn't win a college championship. I don't know if he even won a high school championship.
For the record, he did win a high school championship. I looked it up. That was more just kind of like entertaining Magic Johnson telling Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, he had a crowd.
Yeah, what are you doing here, buddy? Yeah. But I think the bigger thing is like, what? How do you say those words? Like, how does that come to you as an NBA player? If you want to talk about the 50s and 60s and Bob Cousy and, you know, George Mikan and all that,
against plumbers.
Yeah, I will hear you on that. Now, I think there were some great players back then that can certainly translate into more modern times, maybe not current times, but that's neither here nor there. But for you to say, like, the 70s and 80s, I would argue, because I watched it, that there were even more skilled players. in the 70s and 80s when you go into those. But, you know, that's a discussion we can have. But to say MJ was the only one? Come on, man.
MJ had to get through some folks
before
he became MJ, MJ.
And what's crazy, there's some great players that feel like they're undervalued because of MJ. Right, like guys like Dominique Wilkins that just couldn't get
Dominique was amazing.
Couldn't get to certain places just because he would always run up against those Chicago Bulls. Yeah, it's funny because Anthony Edwards seems like a dude who appreciates the game a little bit, but I guess that cockiness.
Hell, I'll go back to Doc and George Gervin and McAdoo, and I mean those guys were more Elvin Hayes. Has anybody stopped that fadeaway jumper yet? I mean, you know, all these guys.
Some other things that are popping. Aaron Judge just keeps hitting the baseball really far. He hit home runs 50 and 51 during the course of this weekend, which technically puts him on pace for 63. You think he can break the 62?
Why is they pitching to him at this point? He need to be treated like Barry Bonds.
Well, they also have Soto over there. Like they've stacked some things over there. Mm-hmm. The Yankees, unfortunately, so doesn't matter. Astros
was
still
it three having. Straight 50 plus something like that.
I believe that's the case.
Yeah, but why are they pitching him? They kind of have to. At some point, you're going to have to. Not always, but at some point, you're going to have to because they're in the race and they're trying to. And you know they're in division games and all that stuff. So yeah, no, he's good. This just in, he's good.
Along those lines, well, while we're talking baseball, Mauricio Dubon,
dude.
I mean, talk about laying it on the line. Last night, Sunday Night Baseball, he is what I like to call Hall assing for baseball in left field, and he gets it, but he also smashes into the wall.
I would have died. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. First of all, I never would have gone that fast. But if somebody had put me on a roller coaster or on a put a jet pack on my back
for you to get up to that speed,
and I tracked down that baseball and then hit the wall like he did, like I am amazed at, first of all, the hit that he took, and he was in a ton of pain, but he ultimately bounced up and said he was ready to go back in the game. Like, I would have, like, they would have to scrape my body off the off the field. Like, that was it. That would have been it. That's how it ended. It was an amazing play, too.
It was.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, a good game all the way around, too. Mm-hmm. A couple of back-to-back home runs when it came to Bregman and Yainer Diaz lifted the Astros over the Orioles. We'll talk more about that later in the program. But those guys did well, as did Dubon, laying out, putting his body on the line to make sure the Astros could get a win in that closeout game of the series. So there you go. Some what's popping here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. More things popping as well as the Texans are trying to get down to 53-man, the 53-man roster limit. Let's get an insight into what D'Amico Ryans had to say today to media. And then also, let's see if we can kind of put a preliminary idea of what the in-the-loop 53-man roster would look like. We'll do all that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.